Blog Talk Radio.
Daily, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. It's a Sunday sports wrap. Next week, it'll be wrapped up. Super Bowl will be done. Or will it be? Well, it may be. We'll find out. There's always opening. We'll move to prayer. And with that, go to the saxophone play that was discovered by Miles Dewey Davis. Miles said, it was a diamond in the rough with one day. Ladies and gentlemen, John Coltrane's dear Lord, lead us into prayer. Once again, say hop to the one, the only true God. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, we ask that you have your will, you have your way. We thank you, Lord, for moving with so largely. We just want to say to Lord, thank you. All things big and small. Thank you for all good and well things coming. Thank you for another day. And even though it's freezing outside, by the grace of God, we are alive. Love God. Let's bless our families here on the panel. Our families here in America. Our beloved families in the church. Come on, buddy, Lord. We just pay homage to you. I am. Your son, the Lamb. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Fox Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Looking for the crew to get in here with us. Danny Skiles, he'll be joining us. Cincinnati Seawings, a little bit of the forthcoming football update. The Hoopster, Lady A. Last night, big fight at Madison Square, top rank. But Bob Bam doing another outstanding card. Brian Jennings, the guy who was seen as one of the American hopefuls, tremendous display. Got behind in the fight, TKO in the 10th round. That says a lot. When a guy can do that in the closing round, if I want to think that I always admired about the Rams, the ability to knock out people in the 13th and 14th round. You know, they've been running from the tie, he's been jabbing him, and he takes him out in the 13th and 14th round. Howard Weston Jr. should be joining us pretty soon. Looking for Howard to get into here with us, along with Cincinnati C. If we can get to Cincinnati. Cincinnati C, did you join us yet? She was Danny Skiles. Did Danny Skiles get with us yet?
Yeah, I'm here with you, Doc.
Danny Skiles is with us, and we're going to just jump in things right now. You know, Danny, the bat dinner they had again today, and we want to thank our man, Steve Acuddle. Is that who says his last name?
Steve Arocho.
Okay, Steve, apologize for that. Steve does a great job with that thing. He does it every year, and we want to just thank him once again personally for all the professionalism, courtesy, and the overextension that he does. I know he was giving my credential. He would say, you know, I'm sorry, I've been wrestling. Steve, you know, ain't like he ain't working. Great affair. And, you know, Danny, we got a chance to go inside and talk to some of the people. And the guy that you know, stood up among the guys that stand out, you know, Ed Figueroa, first Puerto Rican pitcher to ever win 20 games. You got a chance to talk to him, and both of them Latin side. Can you talk a little bit about the interview you did with Ed Figueroa?
Well, you know, Ed Figueroa has led a tremendous life. First of all, he He played in the Little League, in the Little League World Series. After that, he fought for his country in the Vietnam War and defended our country. And then he became a world champion with the New York Yankees. I mean, you know, that's about as good as you get. Now he's a successful owner of a restaurant in Puerto Rico, has a beautiful family, and, you know, you can't ask for anything else. I mean, he's done it all. He's had a great life. He's happy with the stuff that his accomplishments. And it's nice to see a baseball player out there that's enjoying his life. You know, that's the reason why they have the bat in them, because a lot of baseball players, especially the Latin and a lot of the African American buzz, they're in dire straits, man. They're in a bad situation when it comes to after their baseball career is over. And thank God they have the bat association, because without that, though, a lot of them would probably be struggling. I think in boxing, that's what they should have, something as similar to the baseball assistance team.
You know, the thing you talk about there, two Dr. Stanley, Sports and Depth, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Danny Skiles is here with us. Howard Weston should be joining us soon. Hoping something that he can get a little while. He's in the studio getting ready for that big Super Bowl thing. Hey, I remember Joe Gaziola. Howard Weston Jr., come down, how today, chopping it a bit. I remember, because I've been from this team for about two decades now, and I remember one of the things, they started out in the little small room, and now they've elevated that great room down at the Marriott Marquis. But I remember one of the things that Joe Gaziola, and I remember meeting the great Robert Roberts there, Brooks Robinson. The thing that they talked about was people had no idea of how badly the bat assistance was needed, and especially a lot of the Negro League players. And there were guys who needed wheelchairs, as something as simple as that, and then you're just blessed not to be in a wheelchair. Guys needed the smallest of things, and it was the biggest of things for them to attain, and bat was there for them. And you get a chance this year. We want to send out our good well wishes to my dear beloved friend, Audrey Chambliss. Nobody sings "Don't Let Me Lose This Dream" better than she does. Chris Chambliss, her husband, the world champion batting coach of the Yankees. No, don't know how you get fired being the world champion batting coach, but Chris liked to be up there this year at bat, but he couldn't because Audrey fell ill a little bit, and then he also was caught up in situations down there with the fantasy camp, him and Mickey Rivers. So we get I get well wishes to her. We're going to shoot some birthday greetings out in a minute or two for the birthdays this month. And the man who ends this month, the 31st, Jack Roosevelt Robinson. He's in our photo collage there, Jackie Robinson, who was the first African-American to be the boxing commissioner in New York State. And we know what else he did, first African-American to win a batting title, first African-American to win the MVP. The first African-American to win a World Series was Larry Doby, who did it in 1948 with the Cleveland Indians, as well as the first African-American to lead the league in home runs and RBIs. Jackie was also the first ever Rookie of the Year winner, the first ever. That's when they only gave one Rookie of the Year award, 47-48, and Jackie won it. And this tells you, you know, how good Jackie was. Gentlemen, a little music. We'll be right back. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Block Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network.
Yeah.
talk about the birthday for this month. As you know, the 15th, and this is why Stevie Wonder put this collaboration together, a tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King. The movement started by the late, great Hal Jackson, who was the executive officer of African American Radio. And then we started the movement in 1986. Holiday came about. First African American to ever have a national holiday, Dr. Martin Luther King. Life's most persistent. So the question is, what Dr. King also said, until a man has found something to die for, life isn't worth living at all. Forgiveness is not a changeable act. It's from a state of mind. It must have a cord of love. It's a man's birthday. And, it's just amazing that we end the month with the birthday of Jackie Robinson. And the month opens up with the birthday of the wife, Antoinette Boykin, the wife of the iconic Marion B. Boykin, greatest boxing mind of his generation. Online, we have the greatest female boxing mind of his generation, Lady A, and the greatest boxing show ever, Boykin on Boxing. The greatest boxing show on cable, network, and outer space, inner space ever. The second of this month is my beloved daughter, Turquoise. Named after her godmother, who was then the wife of the greatest basketball player of his generation, and that's when ABA, Dr. J, Jewish Winfield Irving, Lady A will be joining us. Lady A, calm down. I see you in the studio. Just relax, you and the hoopster. And the other birthdays of this month, and my daughter, I said she's the second, the greatest woman of my life, I don't ever know. My mother, the 21st, she is now 85 years old, by the grace of God. The Fighters, this is iconic, amazing. The three iconic guys in just about a week span. The 10th of this month is George Foreman. 2 days later, Smoking Joe Frazier, our good friend Neil Harrow, and the man who we were one, I think we were the last person to get Joe to do a live radio show, and that was all due to you, Harrow, because of the fact that you got Joe, you were doing a show down there in Florida, and you had beaten your head against the wall. Nobody wanted to celebrate Ali Frazier won, greatest fight in the history, Massacre of God. We'll get back to that, to your involvement in that. Joe's birthday is on his 12th. And then only two guys ever beat Joe Frazier, and he only lost two times, both guys. The guy in front of him, Foreman, on the 10th. The guy on the 17th beat him twice, Muhammad Ali. And Buddy McGirt, outstanding welterweight champion, too, great little welterweight champion. His birthday was on the 17th. The day before there, Jones Jr. And the day before, Roy Jones Jr., which is also the birthday of Dr. King and my beloved friend Cha-Cha, Bernard Hopkins. So, in the month of January, Ali, Frazier, Foreman, Jones, McGirt, Hopkins, and the month ends with none other than Jackie Robinson. The 25th of my grandson, I got to call my cousin, his birthday too. It was yesterday, the 20th of this month. My nephew Eddie on the 24th. And Emil Francis Newendam, Anthony Emil Francis Newendam, one of the guys who served his country 20 years, also has mercy. But that was a big thing. I was really looking at the fact that boxing-wise, Ali Frazier Foreman in the same month, along with Buddy McGirt and Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones Jr. Okay, so we talked about boxing. Let's lead right into Lady A. Nice little card there last night at MSG. You weren't too overly impressed with the affair with Mikey Garcia, but you had some good things to say about Brian Jennings.
Yeah, I think he maintained his composure early in that fight. I saw him dominating in the latter rounds. Obviously, you know, Doc, I think, what did you leave right away, Doc, or no? Because after that fight was over, it was like half the garden cleared out. Everybody walked out of there. But I think that was the best fight of the night because Mikey Garcia pretty much dominated. I only gave one or two rounds to Burgos, if that.
Well, I mean, Garcia is I don't know, Harold will give us his take on him. He's an undefeated champion. He has a good trainer. The thing about the trainer, Robert Garcia, is not so much about the training. I think, you know, and me and Harold talked earlier today about
Harold's on right now?
Yeah, just calm down. This ain't the dating game. Calm down. I told you about it. This ain't the dating game.
I just wanted to say hello.
Wait, you'll get your chance here, okay? Hal, say hello to her, okay? If I get this thing all messed up, please.
Boy, lady, you see how jealousy works in this world? Jesus Christ, oh my.
You know I got to mess with him, Harold. How you doing, brother?
but you know, the thing that about Garcia, Harold, and you may like this too, and Doc Finney Sports, the Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and Government Network, Lady A is here. Double Barrel, Harold Weston Jr., Danny Skiles is in the house. We're talking bat, baseball, we're talking boxing. The thing that about Garcia, and I talked to Garcia, and I said, so as a trainer, you know, there's, and when you said this redundantly, Harold, you know, after a certain time, a guy can train himself. What you need a trainer for is when you come back and send those two guys, say, hey, man, keep working your jab and stay away from the right hand. It's time to go to the body. And he said he felt that being a guy who fought, it was advantageous in him being a good trainer. I think he's being a little humble, a little modest. But he also said something that I liked. He said, because, you know, he said, Al, those last 2 weeks of a fight, you want the guy to be focused. He said, you know, he had no problem with you know, the so-called abstaining from sex, which is big in your day. About how he had a girlfriend. She said, you know, I love Hal, but she said, I hated when he had to go fight. You know what I mean? And he said, you know, you're not so worried about the sex as a weakening, as an aspect of losing focus. He said, those last couple of weeks, you know, you got to be focused. And, you know, Cabrera, you're talking about too, lady. I think they said they're talking about now he, well, not only Mike Bellamy, who's supposed to join us from the Bellamy Boxing Report and from Brick Sports Director and Sportscast, number one sportscaster in New York City Cable TV in Brooklyn. And he just talked about maybe Cabrera was being talked about, Garcia should be talking about being part of that springboard into the Mayweather sweepstakes. 88, okay, Jennings. Seen as the possible maybe the future of the heavyweight division. You Garcia, a good little fighter. Let's give a take on here. What did you like? What didn't you like? On the grading, the A to D, how do you grade him on last night's performance?
Who, Jennings?
No, I not Jennings. Garcia.
Garcia? Oh, I would give him an A-.
And Jennings?
I would give him an A-. I wouldn't give him an A, you know, because I just don't think that his opponent was, you know, was all of that. You know, I thought that, okay, he was good. He gave him a good shot here and there. You know, gave him a little angles. It seemed like Mikey Garcia kept coming forward. And I always tell guys, you know, one of the key things, and Harold's talked about a lot, is guys establishing the jab early. And when they're shooting out there, when they're punching, you know, having that, you're having the right angle, standing, you know, standing the right way, having right footwork, and keeping your chin in. And that other guy, he didn't seem like he had any of those fundamental skills that he needed, you know.
Well, I mean,
he was getting whacked.
Okay,
and Mikey Garcia
is
the kind of fighter, based on what I saw, Mikey Garcia
is that is that fair to take away from him? I mean, how your take on this? I mean, she's saying, okay, the opponent wasn't that good, so we're not going to give him an A. Your take on that, Harold?
Well, I give him a D. Because of the fact that when you have a bum in front of you and you can't take a bum out because that's all it was, then there's a problem.
Mm.
And my whole thing is that they were just putting him on stage to try, you know, sell him to the New York public and everything.
Mm.
What happened to him, he failed.
Mm.
He failed because he's supposed to take that kind of opponent out. When you don't take those kind of opponent out, there's a problem.
So you
and my point is that I don't want to hear about height. I don't want to hear about nothing. When you are a great fighter and you're a masterpiece, you should tear a fighter like that down and break him down to where he's completely broken, where he's going to fall out just for you putting as much pressure and punches on you. Because this guy didn't do nothing. He only did only time he did anything was the first round.
I think it was. I gave him the second. I think it was the second
right?
round.
But the fact is, he didn't throw nothing. And Mikey just running, you know, following, just putting the jab, jab, jab. I think Mikey had it, you know, was a little leery because he got hurt in that first round.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the fact is that when you're supposed to be where Am's trying to display him as this great next big fighter, no, not that kind of performance. And you're fighting a bum, and you're having something to display him on stage where he failed. And one thing about New York people, we know when we see good fighters. And you can't be selling me saying, don't believe your lying eyes. No, I'm going to believe my eyes. I didn't see nothing there but some garbage. Another guy that they're trying to sell to the public.
Country Western quotations here, baby. Don't believe your lies. And Harold Weston, if your eyes are not open, boxing-wise, he will open for you. Doc Stanley. Okay, let's go real quickly. Danny, did you catch in that fight last night?
No, I didn't. I didn't get a chance to see it.
So don't move. Get back to bed. Okay, Jennings, just, Lady A, let's give your assessment. Ladies first, and then we're going to go to Hal. Jennings, I think he fell behind
Like I said earlier, I think I saw him doing a little better in the latter rounds. There were a lot of shots I think he took early on. I wasn't really all that impressed with him, you know, but, you know, I think I thought it was the best fight of the night. Most of the other fights didn't even go past two rounds, so everybody got knocked out in the first round. One kid from – the kid from Puerto Rico, I forget his last name, he knocked the guy out in 20 seconds. I was like, by the time I turned around to get the scorecard from the previous fight, he got knocked out.
Right?
The guy's name, Valdejo? Yes, I forget his last name.
Yeah, but Valdejo, he's supposed to be the next Tiger.
He knocked that guy out in like 20 seconds. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So what's that saying about the matchups in there? I'm like –
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Harold had the kind of cards, and I was talking to one of the security supervisors, and we were sitting there at the weigh-in, and I was talking about the fact. I said, you know, the guard didn't have a boxing department anymore. I said, you know, the lights went out here. It was all done here when Harold Weston left here. And John said, yeah, and then he stopped. And you see him daydreaming. He said, man, well, he was a fighting blum, 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 blum. And the thing about your cards, Harold, you know, I nicknamed suicide matches because, you know, if a guy got knocked out on a Harold Weston card in 20 seconds, well, then, you know, you say, you got to look at the guy who did it because Harold put no chumps in the ring. Everybody that stepped in the ring on a Harold Weston matchmaker card could fight. And I've never been, and I know I say this redundantly over and over again, ain't because I love the guy, ain't because I know him, but I remember walking Weston's office, and this is America. And everything in America is based on, first of all, complexion. You know, this is a very racist, but everything is black. I remember walking in Harold's office, and he's on the phone. And I told you, him and John Condon might have been my place, too. And Harold said, I don't care if he's black, white, green, or yellow. Can he fight? And I'm just thinking about on a Harold Weston card, if somebody knocked out somebody in 20 seconds, wow. That's a hell of a guy. And it was, if you look back at Harold's day, you know, Harold told people, you know, this kid Camacho. Harold told Kitchen, hey, so this is Mark McDowell, Juan Laporte, I mean Barkley. But he told people about Camacho, and people didn't listen. And Camacho just kept winning and winning and winning. But the point I'm making here, a guy can knock him 20 seconds. You know, sometimes it happens. But if you could talk about the disparity in matches, and but when Harold, I should call Harold, suicide match. I remember the guys at the house. He got. I said, "Hey, man, you know, house. I'm putting in the ring, and I look at his resume. The world champions that he made: Camacho, Mark McDowell, Juan Laporte, Iran Barkley, William McGirt, Mike McCollum. What a resume! But I just thought that point up to talk about. You know that can happen. Danny, you the gentleman that did the knockout. You know him, fighter."
Oh, Francisco Rodel, yeah, I saw from the early on. He's a really good talented fighter. He's really dedicated to his sport. He's supposedly the next Puerto Rican, big shot.
Yeah. So okay, well, you know, Aaron has an affinity to the Latin fighters, and it was another card. The excitement is always good to see. The crew, it used to be, I was telling somebody last night, it used to be the old Felt Farm, that area down there, and twice a month, Harold, John Cotton, the guard, used to have a fight card that we got to fight this Thursday at the Barclays Center, Victor Ortiz and Luis Collazo. Real quickly getting back to the card last night, looking at Jennings, Harold, your thoughts on Brian Jennings?
He had the right guy in front of him, you know what I'm saying, and like with all those knockouts from last night showed you that the card was was made for everybody that was their favorite boy. They're the ones that won the fights, and basically that's what happened. So, Jenny, I mean, he didn't – see, what people don't understand is that when you get bums in front of you and you go 30-0 fighting bums, believe me, when you fight the one that can really fight, you ain't going to win that 31 fight, okay? Because that – you did nothing but swap bums your whole career. And when you get in there with somebody that's hungry and can fight, you're not going to pass that test. And that's why the reason why I put my guys in there with fights that they was even up with so they can learn and take the bruise. One thing about life, and this is what these knuckleheads don't understand, you cannot go into a war if you don't know what the outcome might be, okay? It's like we go into training and they draft you into the military and they say, okay, now you go to the battlefield. No, 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 no. You got to go through training. So they took live ammunition, live bullets that went over your head so you get used to hearing the sound, knowing what you had to go through, wake and stand up all night long. Everything has to be rehearsed because the unknown is the one that's going to hurt you if you don't know about it. And that's what these young guys don't understand. Everybody, look at this card. Everybody's undefeated. How many times have you seen so many undefeated fighters going in your life? This is insane.
Doc, you know, all fairness to Garcia, you know, this is his, like, third fight that he moved up in. He fought Orlando Salido, you know, in featherweight, and he beat him. He beat Juan Manuel Lopez, actually knocked him out, like a TKO. We had a TKO in the fourth round, which I kind of was, like, surprised that he knocked him out in the fourth, but he did. And then he moved up and fought Rocky Martinez, and he knocked him down in the second. But, you know, he finished out the fight. He won with a KO in the eighth. And, you know, and this fight right here with Burgos, I just, like, just all together, like I was saying, I don't even, like, just to add to what Harold was saying, I don't really think this guy was much for him. Remember that he had problems making weight with his fight against Lopez, and he ended up losing the title on the scale. So those are a couple of factors that, to me, are negative when it comes to Rocky, to Garcia. But...
Well, you know what? I would like to see him fight that kid from Cuba.
That's the fight. That's exactly what I was... Rigondeaux. That's exactly, but, you know, being that he
no,
was...
No, not Rigondeaux. The other one, Bamboa or something
Lara.
Like that.
Gamboa.
Yeah,
Lara's like at 100 and something pounds. He's 150 something pounds. He would never touch him. But Gamboa is who you're talking about?
Yeah, Gamboa, so, right.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see if he decides to fight.
Gamboa was last night.
From
Gamboa, he's waiting for 50 Cent. 50 Cent seems to be making a pretty nice little imprint in the game. He came with Gamboa last night. Is Gamboa still with? I imagine he still must be with Top Rank. Am I correct?
I think he's a 50 Cent. No, he's a 50 Cent right now. But I'm
going
to tell you this.
I'll
tell you this, Doc. The one fight, and I've been telling everybody about that I want to see this year. I don't care what happens. Top Rank. They're both Top Rank fighters. I want to see Ruzan Poradnikov fight Brandon Rios. That's the fight that I want to see this year.
Ooh,
I want
to
see Poradnikov and Rios.
The Russian guy.
And Rios.
Oh, okay.
Rios go back down to 140, and I want to see him fight like that's just not he fought because he fought Alvarado at 140, and that was those two fights were ridiculous. I want to see them both fight at 140 and see what happens, and then I want to see Danny Garcia at 140 fight our boy Adrian Broner. I want to see that fight because Broner was talking last night.
That's amazing. That's Stanley Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian. We're a week away from the Super Bowl. Knicks won today, beating the Lakers without Kobe Bryant in Madison Square Garden. We know the Melo Man, 62 points in the previous game before that. The Nets were in Boston Garden for the first time. Both Garnett and Pierce were returning to their old stomping grounds. The Rangers played today at Yankee Stadium. They were victorious.
Yes.
New York teams were kind of rocking and rolling, and both the Rangers and the Knicks are so kind of streaky, so it's good to see that. We're going to have Super Bowl here next week. Peyton Manning and company landed in town today in Jersey, staying in Jersey City, so they're getting ready for the big game next week. Bat dinner. And we always – the one year I got inside and Luis Aparicio wasn't there, and we're going to get back to the bat dinner. Manny Mota was there. Manny Mota's a big, big a big boxing fan, big Tyson guy, and it was good to see him. Steve Garvey, a guy who was one time Mr. Baseball, one time Mr. Dodger, and I just don't understand how a guy like that is not in the Hall of Fame. And we talked about that, and Steve said, hey, you know, but always definitely dressed, always looking like a star. John Franco, the most saves ever by a left-hand pitcher in history of baseball, and I think that alone should get him in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, and when you see Garvey and you stand around Franco, these are guys who did big things, who are little men, little big men. It was always good to see Manny Mota, who was the all-time pinch hit king until he was supplanted by one of his pupils, Lenny Harris, who did it right here that night in Shea Stadium. He became the all-time pitch hit man, and it's a chance for me to pitch into the fact that in the Trusting God Sports and Depth Entertainment Artifacts Museum, we have a couple of Lenny Harris autographed bats and a pair of his batting gloves. All-time pinch hitter in the history of baseball. Mota had supplanted Smokey Burgess and the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he was there. Adam Jones was there. Got a chance to also shout at and talk a little bit with Ron Davidson. He was very interesting. We're going to slide to that. You know, he talked about Francis, and we also want to thank Steve again for all his help media-wise. He talked about, he said, you know, that the pitching coaches today, Francis, they're not coaches, as they're more mechanics. And he has a total disgust for the pitch count, Francis.
Well, I'm not in favor of the pitch count either. I've always said that it's a detriment to baseball. It's hurting the game. You know, guy throws four innings and he's at 90 pitches. And you got to pace yourself. And there's no way you can have a complete game with 100 pitches. So
the point you bring up is so. I remember talking to Tom Seaver, the great George Thomas Seaver, my buddy there, and I found it on occasion there. I said, you know, if you're around the day, you'd win 500 games. And I knew exactly what he said. Bullshit. He said you got to go every fourth day, and you got to go 7 innings. You got to go at least 7 innings, and you got to go every. And his buddy, his teammate at one time, Nolan Ryan in Texas, Nolan, don't play that. You don't play the pitch count. And what the pitch count has done is it's the shortest of a couple of things. We'll never see another 300 game winner again in history of baseball. And it's so hard now for guys to simply win 20. Here's Francis zipping right along. It's 6 2/3 innings. He's got a 4-0 shutout, 3 hits, no walks. Okay, wait a minute now. Okay, it's a 6-2. Hey, let me hit him, Doc. We'll bring Doc in. I close out the 7th. Harold comes in the 8th, and then we bring in Mariano to close out the 9th. But a lot of times, he's clipping along, 6 2/3 innings. They bring Doc in. He's winning 2-0. Doc is a 2-run. Now he's leading 2-1. Here comes Francis. Bad. It's a 2-2 game. You know, it's sad and touching. But the thing that Ron talked about, too, and which was amazing because you always know that pitchers are usually the best players on the team and the best arm, and they usually, you figure a guy as Mariano Rivera came up as a shortstop, and Ron said, no, you know, you also put your best player in left field because that's where all the balls went. You know, I mean, everybody was pulling everything. He said, and then what you did with him also is that you put him at first base so he wouldn't have to exhaust his arm. And it's just amazing, those minute things of yesteryear were so great for the great pitchers. I mean, remember Catfish Hunter told me the reason why they had the guys in the bullpen, they didn't want them in the game in the first place. And Ron talked about
pleasure. Well, Ron Davis was the first setup man, you know, the original setup man. I remember when Dick Chisholm came in the sixth inning, sixth and seventh inning, when it was a blowout end. Ron Davis was right before Goose Gossage or Sparky Lyle. So he was the original setup man, and it was done by Billy Martin that started all that stuff. He told him, I said, listen, you're going to have the sixth and the seventh inning no matter what.
Yeah, so. and he talked about, too, Francis, that we can dovetail on it, as Marion B. Boykin can say, black audacious brilliant ability. He talked about the pride and the joy he had of playing in New York City, how much he loved New York. Can we talk about that, Francis, some?
Yeah, he said that. It was a thrill for him to come into. The first day he came in was at Old Timers Day at Yankee Stadium in 1980. And for him to see Mickey Mantle, for him to see Yogi Berra, it was a thrill just being in New York, and that it was, you know, the greatest thing in the world for him to play. As a matter of fact, his son played Ike Davis, and he tells his son that, hey, there's nothing like New York, that he should try to stay here for as long as he can because there's nothing like New York.
Yeah, it's a special place, the media capital of the world, and some of the greatest players that ever played the game in any venue have come here, and the roll call is endless. Wow, you know, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Joseph Paul DiMaggio, and I was thinking about something about Joe. I was thinking earlier, and that was about that 62-point game that Carmelo Anthony had the other day, and I think he had about 7-8 minutes left in the game, and they took him out the game. Well, where's Hoopsa with the guy? And I'm thinking, why would you take him out the game with 7-8 minutes left? I mean, he had a shot at 70 points, and they say, well, you know, the next time. Well, ain't no next time. Only a 40 game. I mean, here's Harold Weston. He's got 247 yards. We got 2 minutes left. He needs 2 more yards to break the record, and you take him out the game. I mean, do we know 2 weeks from now against Seattle he's going to get 247 yards? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, I remember Preston Gomez. I'll never forget this. Francis, you dovetail this with me. Preston Gomez pinch hit for a guy who was throwing a no-hitter for the San Diego Padres. The Padres won in last place. They were dead last place. Why was he pulling the guy out? The guy was throwing a no-hitter. He pinch hit for the guy.
But Doc,
crazy.
I was gonna say it's like them taking Michael Jordan at the game when he had like what almost 60 something points against the Boston Celtics. Remember
I mean,
that?
Why would you take the guy out the game? He's not gonna get to this point again. And you know what was amazing? Doc Stanley, Sports and the Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network, our Sunday Sports Wrap. Thanks for being with us. And in the future, hear about that. It's a great affair to. The guys are so gracious. I mean, you talk about your autographs, you talk about your pictures, they understand that great line, service to others is what you pay for your space here on earth, as Muhammad Ali. My most persistent, urgent question, what are you doing for others? Dr. King. And I remember I got a chance to meet Verona Gomez, the lovely daughter, and we're going to have a show here of her. We're going to also get Harvey Farmer back and just talk about books. Also, Jim Bouton. I got to find Bouton's card. Bouton was up the other night. He's going to join us. I got to find his card around here. And I remember on September the 9th of 1939, I believe, it was Joseph Paul DiMaggio was hitting 409. And he had some eye problems. I remember reading about this before. And he had said something to McCarthy about it. And Verona, in her book, her dad's book, also talked about the fact that, you know, McCarthy was kind of, I'm basically just stupid. I mean, he wouldn't sit Joe down. The pennant was clinched and everything, and Joe DiMaggio wound up hitting 385. But Joe would have hit 400. Joe was hitting so well one time during the course of the year. He asked somebody, has anybody hit 500 in this league? And that was the year that Joe DiMaggio became the first player to win MVP, the batting championship, and the World Series all in the same year.
And Doc, you're saying that he did that when his eye was messed up?
Yeah, he was
the same year his eye was messed up is when he was hitting like that. I don't know.
Yeah. He was doing well. He had an eye problem in September. His eyes were messed up, but he got an infection in his eyes. September 9th, he was hitting 409.
That's crazy.
409, and McCarthy wouldn't sit him down. I mean, it just shows you.
I don't
the
think
kind
McCarthy
of,
liked too much Joe DiMaggio. I don't think McCarthy got along too much with
really.
Well,
I
you know, Doc, that kind of...
You know, it was a situation that the lefty said that, and Verona said too, you know, was a situation that he would pitch guys. McCarthy was deemed one of the great managers of all time, and it was said, you know, Joe kind of never forgave him. I mean, I just, today's guy would say, hey, man, I ain't playing. You know,
if I could just add this in the conversation.
Well, from what I hear is McCarthy didn't like too many Italians.
Doc, if I could add this in the conversation, I know that as recently as a few months ago, I found out that Andre Ward has been fighting almost his whole career with a torn rotator cuff.
Wow.
And, yeah, exactly. And he's still undefeated. When I heard that, I couldn't believe it. He basically came out and said that. I couldn't even believe it.
Lady A, can I say something?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Harold, because I was in shock because I didn't know about that one.
But the fighters today can fight with a broken arm, so what difference does it make?
No, no, I'm just saying, Doc, I mean, you still got to give him credit, though. You know, like, to me, I'm like, this kid's been, since he said he had that injury when he was a teenager or something like that, I'm like, how do you, rotator cuff injury is a no joke, man. That's crazy.
I mean, Harold, you got at least that you would consider giving him an HO card. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Harold Double Barrel, Harold Weston Jr., Harold Boy, boy, if your name ain't Ray Robinson, Ollie Frazier, Defran, Harry, real quickly, you know, getting back to that thing, Francis, with Joe, too, you know, people, you know, don't understand, you know, a lot of Italian ball players, not Italian, but, you know, Joe, Italians weren't looked upon very highly, and Joe's bat during that 56-game hitting streak was also stolen, and there was, and Joe's not the kind of guy to say things, you know, very classy. Joe could, you know, can be aloof. Joe was a great friend to friends, and Joe, you know, never said anything about it. Joe was a guy too, though, that Joe stood by his guns. There were a lot of holdouts for Joe. People don't know that DiMaggio really came up in the Washington Senators organization, and he was a hell of a player. McCarthy talked about the ability of Joseph DiMaggio. I mean, the old timers. I mean, there were two guys that all the old timers just, you know, swore about, you know, Joe Louis and Joe DiMaggio. I mean, those were their guys. You know, DiMaggio wasn't Italian black fans, and Joe wasn't black or Negro to white. I mean, it was those who really admired those guys. Those, I mean, Art Russ, in his book, Confessions of a Baseball Junkie, that's where I first met my last great mentor, like a father to me. And you know, his two guys were Joe Louis and Joe DiMaggio. And then he later, you know, we talked, he said, you know, Doc, you know, Willie's really the greatest, you know, and you know, Ollie's better than Joe. But, you know, those were my guys. And people understand, and sometimes you look back at other ethnic groups who seem to have lost a sense of memory, a sensitivity of the hardships that they went through because of their ethnicity, and kind of don't see the same thing that goes through for African-Americans. The great Roberto Clemente was stunned by the mistreatment and the abuse heaped on black people, simply because they were black. I mean, and Hank Greenberg, it's a known fact that when Greenberg, who hit 56 home runs one year, they stopped pitching to him. You know, we're not going to let that Jew hit 60 home runs and pass the bait. Mm. So, you know, it's sad and touching. DiMaggio, yes, and that year, Joe had an eye problem toward the end of the season, and McCarthy wouldn't sit him down. And there's no surprise about what you said there, Francis. There's no surprise about that. And, you know, Joe was the kind of guy that you know, Joe had some holdouts. Joe was going to get paid accordingly. He came up in the Washington Center organization, and he was just I remember reading that he heard his brother was playing baseball, and he said, well, I'm better than my brother. I can make some money too. And he was a great, great prospect. And he got injured, which was something that often happened to Joe. He got injured, and Griffin, in thinking that he was going to make a hell of a deal, sold Joe to the Yankees, and the rest is history. And in a very rapid amount of time, a couple of years, because DiMaggio, if I'm correct, at one time had the rookie record. It still may have the rookie record for most hits in a season. I mean, Joe and his
brother too, right? Don't they hold the record for the most home runs over having each over 100 runs, home runs?
I don't know.
I think combined, I mean, don't they have over 486 together?
If they would have over 486, you have to understand that Joe hit 361 by himself.
Right, but to combine, I'm saying they're two brothers that.
Well, I mean,
it's
a nice number, but it's. I mean, you took him and Dominic hit 107 home runs. Joe hit 361 by himself. Mm. 361. I mean, they may have the most number for brothers, as Bonds, Barry, and my friend, the late Bobby, have the most.
I thought they were up there as far as their home runs. You know,
as a brother duo.
But
well,
you got Robert Alomar and Sandy Alomar too, right? They were brothers. I don't know how many.
Yeah,
how many
but you're talking
well,
about.
Well, they had also Lee May and Carlos May. Lee May and Carlos May had a couple of home runs out there.
You know, that's what we got looking. I guess that's my homework assignment for next week. The Alomar's not going to have a lot of home runs because one's a second baseman and one's a catcher. And per se, that's where all the big catchers are in the Hall of Fame. And I said this when in Brazil, I was talking to some buddies of mine, my man Big Tom there, Tom Turbo, who sounded like a baseball player number. I said, you know, I read something that Bill Madden, who I think is the best baseball writer of this era, and he said, you know, statistically, Jorge Posada has better numbers than everybody in the Hall of Fame, with the exception, I believe, of Yogi and maybe Bench. You know, there's guys in there, and guys said, well, Posada said, okay, I know when you think Posada, you don't think Berra, Campanella, okay, Mickey Cochran, you know, Herman Lombardi. You don't think that. But numerically, statistically, Jorge Posada has had some great numbers, and it's no coincidence that the Yankees haven't been the same team since you left. He's a guy that came from the infield and went behind the plate, been an integral part of that team, was a great Yankee. And like I said, statistically, he's got some Hall of Fame numbers. Doc Stanley, wasn't there Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We're talking about the Bat Dinner. Ring 8 is having a Ollie Tyson affair. Some money to be generated toward a healthy cause. We'll have some more about that for you on the forthcoming shows. Once we told you, yes, next week is the Super Bowl. Rangers won today. The Knicks won today. The Nets, I believe, also won today. And last night at the Garden, the champion, Richie Cabrera Garcia, won his fight. The heavyweight prospect everybody was raving about, Brian Jennings, won. 50 Cent and Gamboa were in the audience and at the Knicks game today. It was 50.
Oh, yeah?
Merrill Street. Yeah, 50 there, Merrill Street. Always is my good buddy, John Patrick McEnroe, Jr., who I think is pound for pound, you know, the greatest tennis player all around that ever played. I call him Sugar Robinson. He's got a birthday coming up, too. And Nadal, with some back problems, fell today at the U.S., at the Australian Open. He didn't win it. It was a crazy tournament. All the top seeds got knocked out, Roger Sanchez, Mark Shapovia, of course, the great Phoenix Williams, but the injuries and the heat had a tremendous thing. But I like Serena, her interview, and she said, hey, let's not take anything away. She won. She beat me. Let's not talk about my back. Let's not talk about the heat. I saw a crazy stat, though, by one of the five questions to ask one of the sportscasters, his take on Super Bowl being in New York City. He was like, well, you know, he said, hey, you know, I think it's great. You know what I mean? Both teams had to play in the same weather. Wow. What are you telling me? So both guys are sinking in quicksand. It doesn't take away from the fact that they're in quicksand. You know, both teams got to play in the same weather. Yeah, what's happening? We're going to let Denver play their games indoors. And you know, I just thought it was sort of a asinine remark to say, well, both teams have to play in the same weather. Yeah, okay, so they're both playing in quicksand. Does that make it any better? You know, that wasn't the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. Heard some things are happening. There was some serious talk about the Pro Bowl being deleted.
Really?
Some kind of, yeah, there was some talk about it being deleted. This year is a big year. I got an article here. I'm going to read about some of the changes that are made. In fact, what they did, the Pro Bowl team was picked by Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders. And the game is
really
going to be on Wednesday. Yeah, the game is going to be on Wednesday. Usually the game is played like today. I kept looking for it. I'm down to my man Panama's barbershop and Andre's barbershop. You want to a top fight haircut, that's where you be. He'll be plugging us next week. So I'm looking for the games. So we catch there's the Knicks playing. We're catching the Nets playing. You know, there's Bram Stoker's Dracula. There's no Pro Bowl. And The Pro Bowl's on today?
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
The Pro Bowl's
on today. Pro Bowl's on today, Doc.
Huh? What?
They
yeah,
played
it was on
today.
It came on to what time?
Came on like around about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that.
Really?
Oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see it. I kept looking for it. And was it the NFL Pro Bowl today or two?
Yeah.
Okay. I was looking for it because I know they made a lot of changes to spruce it up, make some changes. Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice were the guys that picked the team. And there was some talk about that if it didn't generate the kind of numbers that the NFL, could you believe that they were seriously talking about? I mean, and I think we're probably still contemplating. We'll find out now in the ensuing weeks about getting rid of the Pro Bowl.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it did the numbers they're thinking they were going to do. I really don't. I think nobody really pays no mind to the Pro Bowl because they don't play that hard. So I think that, they're looking for like a million people watching it. I don't think they got that kind of number.
Well, you know what? People always like the Pro Bowl because of the fact that you knew you were going to get a 47-37 game, because the guys can't blitz and you got this good galaxy of stars. And, my goodness, for the players, they had to love it. You go down to Hawaii. I think one of the problems
if everybody loved it, why did they get me to take it off the air then?
I was just going to say, Doc,
Hold on. The players loved it. I think the problem may be is that you used to get the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl. So that meant you got to see the Super Bowl champions, some of those players in the game. Now you don't get it with the game being played the week before the Super Bowl. Now you and me got elected to play in the Pro Bowl, but there you're playing for Seattle and I'm playing for Denver, so we can't go. Which wasn't a bad thing for the offense because now me and you can't go, but now Rudy and C-Wings go. But, you're talking about the alternates or, the second player. Here's Danny. We thought Danny Skiles was going to play in the Pro Bowl, but no, he got to play next week in the Super Bowl. So what are we going to do? We're going to put Harold in. And so I think that may have a lot. All of them are going to be about some of the initiatives that changes that Sylvie made. One of the things was that Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice picked the team. And had Cam Newton on one team, of course, Andrew Luck on another team, who grew up as a soccer fan, football fan, overseas in Europe. And he's probably been a pretty good little soccer player himself, football fan. In America, I can say soccer, but once I hit Brazil, it's got to be football. But that's interesting because I kept looking for that game, and I thought they would do it. In the latter part, and then that's another thing, Harold, that's not going to help the ratings. You're not going to put the Pro Bowl on, and you got the Lakers and the Knicks playing, and you're coming back with the Nets playing, and not only that, earlier in today, you kind of shoot yourself in the head. You got the Miami Heat against the San Antonio Spurs. So
yeah,
right.
Doc, can I just interject for a minute? I think that a lot of it is going to have to do by ratings. Wouldn't that be the appropriate way to try to see how, to come up with, when the time is going to be? And wouldn't you kind of just rate it based on the ratings that you had? Obviously, you take like the All-Star game, the baseball All-Star game, and you take the basketball All-Star game. I'm almost sure that the ratings are going to be a lot better than the Pro Bowl. Am I mistaken with that? I don't know. Wouldn't you have to just rank it?
You're right, lady. And you definitely right.
I'm just an outsider looking in. I think that would probably be the most appropriate way to have an indicator as to, not just the timing of the football game itself, but the ratings, like how many people are actually watching it.
Well,
Let's back up. Now, what are you saying, Adrian, one more time? Let's get this again.
No, what I'm saying is if you're going to – and I'm just – I don't know if I'm piggybacking on what Howard said. I think that, if it was going to be canceled, I think they would have to kind of look more at the ratings and the timing and what the times are. And then from that, then draw as to even if they have based on that and what they got from the ratings, what the times would be for them to slot it. And even if it's worth actually putting it on the air.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go. This is an article in the Afro Times by NFL Pro Bowl has been considered the best. Was considered the best All-Star game in professional sports. In fact, by many accounts, it has been reviewed as the worst. But with a brand new format rules and a loaded roster, the Pro Bowl is making another attempt at gaining attention. The only question is
so that means
worked.
That it wasn't doing good for a while, and now they made some changes to make it more better.
Hold tight.
Okay.
Rather than having two different conferences facing off one another like they have in the past, NFL is embracing the fantasy football culture and allowing two of the biggest former stars in Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice to pick their own team in an unconference format. Unconverted time. The two legends will participate in the first ever Pro Bowl fantasy draft. The event will air at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday, but this is the 25th, so I don't know if it's a Pro Bowl game there. Both Rice and Sanders will have help from two captains and an NFL company fantasy champion. Unfortunately, the new format isn't rubbing some players the right way. According to Taylor Price of the San Francisco 49ers official website, Patrick Willis isn't too keen on the idea of tackling one of his own teammates. In the draft, Rice and Sanders will get to select a roster selected by the fans and replacements for those either not able to participate or play in the Super Bowl. With the new format, here's the information fans need to know before the game kicks off this weekend. Okay. You're right. Now, the game information, okay, it was on today at 7 p.m. The Hola Stadium and Kalalulu, apart from just the changes in the way the teams are chosen, there are differences in the way that we played on the field. Here are the changes to the rules according to the NFL code. Game within the game. A two-minute warning will be added to the first and third quarters, and the ball will change hands after each quarter. This will increase the opportunities for the quarterbacks to direct two-minute drills, which are especially exciting to fans. No kickoffs. The coin toss will determine which team is awarded possession first. The ball will be placed on the 25-yard line at the start of each quarter after scoring plays. The rosters will continue to contain 43 players per squad. The kick return specialist will be replaced by an additional defensive back. Cover 2 and press coverage. Defenses will be permitted to play cover 2 and press coverage. These are some ideas. We'll get set with that. We had Cincinnati C here with us, but just some of the changes. So the game has been having some problems, and you mentioned some of the reasons why, and I think also the fact that it becomes anticlimactic with some people, and the fact that a lot of the players can't play in the game because of the Super Bowl, and then the thing I just implemented there, that means that me and Harold, who are in the same conference, well, they may put me on the other team. So now I'm guarding Harold. Harold's tackling me. So we'll see how that works out.
But that's not the reason. The reason what they're having a problem is the sponsors are getting ready to pull out because they're not getting the audiences that they want. Pro Bowl. And they ain't spending that money because they're charging them a lot of money because they're in the Pro Bowl and having them thinking that they're, 10 million people are going to watch this Pro Bowl, and they're not getting the numbers they said they were going to get.
I think that's more of a reasonable explanation. I wasn't trying to, I think that the more apropos thing would be to look at overall the ratings and the slotting and see what time schedules and.
From what I hear, the NFL wants to cut down on injuries, and they don't want to take the risk of having a football player just go out there to Hawaii, get hurt, and then we have it's a problem. That's why they took the football players from playing in that ABC Wide World of Sports event that they used to have just for fun.
Years ago. You're right. I mean, the careers of players are short enough, so you don't want to. I mean, they talked about the injury that Ted Williams suffered in the All-Star game, and supposedly he never was. You're right. I mean, everybody here has interjected something that is all definitely the reasons and validation for why things are happening. And how it hit the biggest one, if they can't see no way of making no money, then they're not making any effort for it to continue. Doc Stanley, Sports Internet Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardrail Network. We are a week away from the Super Bowl. Once again, Knicks, Rangers, Nets, big winners today. Tiger Woods had a horrible tournament, but maybe that means he may be ready to win another major. We're also talking about we got this fight this Thursday. Lady A, Harold, we'll let you start, Lady A. Collazo and Victor Ortiz, I was on Mike Bellamy's show Thursday. Brick, the sports director and sportscaster, And looking at picking a winner between this fight, I was leaning for Ortiz. I think he's better, and I think Lewis as I use the term, long in the tooth. He's just the older the two fighters. I think that can be a detriment. Lady A, give me your assessment, and then we'll follow with Danny Styles and Harold Weston. Lady A, who does this thing on Thursday?
I think it's going to be an interesting fight. I mean, I don't think that, you know, with Collazo's resume that Ortiz should take, you know, to think of him as a, you know, as a sleeper. Collazo has a, you know, he has a decent background. He has fought, so I mean, there's arguments have been made that people have to actually believe that he actually beat Berto. You know, Ortiz lost to Berto before, so I think it shouldn't be an interesting matchup. I think everybody expects Ortiz to pull it out, but you know, in the whole old Howard Weston adage, if he doesn't knock him out, I guess he's not that great of a champion. You know, it should, you know, I still think Collazo has fight in him. I think he still wants to, has a lot to prove, but we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Danny, your thoughts, Collazo and Ortiz? You've seen both guys.
I used to like Ortiz a lot. I thought he was a good fighter. But with the stunts that he's pulled lately with being on the Expendables and Dancing with the Stars, I don't think his head is in the game of boxing. And every time he gets on the dais and starts talking, you find out that his mental game is not on boxing. So I think Rob's going to put a hurt on this kid. The last kid broke his jaw. I think this guy, Collazo, is going to break his jaw once again and retire him and send him into the Expendables. Once again.
Harold Weston Jr., double barrel Harold, Collazo with Ortiz.
I don't even know where you're going with the fight, really, tell you the truth, because whoever wins, what do you do with him after that? And whoever loses, you keep him where he was at anyway. So basically,
whoever wins is going to fight Quillen, Peter Quillen. That's what they're looking at.
Quillen? He's not even in the same fight. He's not even in the same weight class.
Yeah.
How are they going to have Quillen fight him? He's not even in the same weight class.
That's what I'm talking about,
you know, Collazo and Quillen.
The sad part.
But Collazo's not even in the same weight class as Quillen. How the hell is he going to fight Quillen?
He can't fight My point is that the sad part about this boxing world today, you got so many these titles running around that I can make a guy 30-0 and make my own organization and make him champion, and everybody will accept him because that I said he's a champion. You know, with Quillen and Ortiz, Ortiz has had, you know, I just don't see where's the big story about the whole fight.
Cause they're going to fight a championship fight, another championship fight, Wes, Harold, at a freaking catchweight? Give me a break, man.
Yeah,
another championship fight. Oh, God, Harold. Oh, God, Harold, how shocking. Another championship fight at a catchweight.
Yeah,
come on,
man. I mean, it's a
come
joke.
On, man. It's ridiculous.
I mean, what are we praising? I mean, what are we praising about the fight itself? I mean, you know, who cares about Ortiz? I mean, and Collazo, please, Jesus Christ. I don't know what I'm talking about, you know.
Shut up, Harold.
it's amazing, too, and me and Lady A talked about Doc Stanley.
Doc, can I just say this, Doc, before you go into your spiel? Because me and you were talking about this yesterday because we had this conversation. I just want to see what Harold thinks about this. Harold, ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The fighter of the year. Fighter of the year for 2013, Adonis Stevenson.
Really?
That's who they made fighter of the year, Harold. Adonis Stevenson. They made Ring Magazine made Adonis Stevenson the fighter of the year. You and I were just talking about this yesterday, Doc.
Harold, let me say this, Harold. Sad and touching. Okay, Harold, you can go now. Sad and touching.
Oh, my God. I was like, are you kidding me?
I'm going to tell you something, too. You know,
Wait, Doc. I just want to say one more thing. Harold was just talking about this before, and you and I talked about this yesterday. Harold. You know you're my man, Harold. I love you to death, but I have to ask you this question. They said the Ring Magazine had an article saying that Rigondeaux and Lara, okay, will never make it successfully, pretty much in summation, in boxing because their styles are not suitable for boxing, meaning that they're not prize fighters. They won't draw the card. I was like,
too amateurish.
Yes, something like that, to that effect. I was like, what are they talking about? I couldn't believe they said that. Meanwhile, Harold, correct me if I'm wrong, but Mayweather somewhat, has the same style of fighting as these guys. Hit, don't get hit. You know, and they're embracing the fundamentals of boxing. So what? I don't get where they're drawing this comparison. I don't understand it. Maybe you, as a professional, could explain it to me.
Well, you
a guy of your caliber who actually fought a real fighter like Tommy Hearns. Could you explain it to me, please? Because me and Doc are sitting there like, really?
You know, I done got to the conclusion that you got a different type of group of people out here today that has never, ever been in a boxing ring, has never, ever did anything in boxing until they got these jobs that they got, and they're just coming up with an idea of saying how they feel with a person's style or a certain fighter, how great they are. Like you said, who's the best fighter of the year again? The whole thing is just crazy. I mean, you just got another group out here that's just taking boxing to another level, and all it is about money, money, money. They they're destroying the sport itself. And they don't care as long as they can get as much money they can get out of the sport. And that's where they're at. And you're never going to get great fighters no more because the guys that really know how to train fighters are not around, and the people that are training fighters is just throwing kids in there, making them 30-0. And what this kid got last night, I could not believe it, Doc. He got $750,000. $750,000? Yeah, $750,000. For that kind of fight. I mean, where, Jesus Christ almighty, where is the thing? I mean,
listen, I'm about to give Harold Weston a pair of gloves and have him go in there and fight some of these clowns.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is amazing. And my point is that he doesn't look that good to be a $750,000 fighter. I mean, but the thing is that you got an era now today. The money's out there. I know that. The money's out there. But to pay these guys to fight the way they've been fighting is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say what's about your question, lady. It's beyond me. It's beyond words to be said about these guys today.
I'm just sitting here thinking about what I read the other day, and I was telling Doc about it, and I'm like, how the hell are they saying that? How do they come up with that? You know, you got a kid like Lara. Did you see what he did to that guy Angulo who's fighting Alvarez? Did you see what that guy's eye looked like? He broke I think it was in two places, right? Cuz the side of his eye, when he got hit, he turned around and I'm looking at the TV and I'm like, "What happened?" It looked like he was about to bend over and cry. That's how much pain he was in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you're telling me that this guy is not going to draw and not, I mean, he's doing the same style of fight. Doc,
well,
I mean,
what they try and do, like, then this is the problem, the whole thing. They try to sell Mike Garcia last night as one of the great, Bob Arum's building up as the big draw, the big next pay-per-view and all that. Well, he lost all that last night, okay? The bottom line is that They're just trying to sell their fighters, and like I said, they're telling people, don't believe your lying eyes. That guy is great, and that's what they're trying to say. Don't believe you might think he don't look good in your eyesight, but really he's great, what we're telling. And that's what they're trying to sell to the people. I don't know what people are taking it in, but that's what they're trying to sell to the people. If I know people, it's going to get very, very, the sport's going to get lower and lower in numbers.
All I know is I could just tell you this, just to add to what you're saying, it's a small caveat. Doc and I were watching a fight, and it looked like after the Brian Jenny, I'm sure like maybe, I don't want to say all, a good majority of people, I don't want to say all, whatever, but you had half the people that were there for that fight walked out. After that fight was over, they walked out. You had it because you had a set of people that actually after the Sean Monahan fight, you saw kind of a little bit of them in between the rounds, like after that round walking out. But after the Jennings fight, pretty much the whole contingency, the Polish contingency had left, and all of the Long Beach people from Monahan's crew left. And you looked around, and you're like, wow, it's a good portion of people that have left after the fight.
I mean, but lady, you're spending, what, $400? You buy two tickets ringside, $200 mm-hmm. a piece, right?
Right.
That's $400. More than that, you got to park your car. You spend mm-hmm. like almost $500.
$10 a beer, Harold. $10 a beer.
Yeah, $10. I mean, what are we talking about?
Right.
I mean, we spend $500 for this garbage? This is insane.
Yeah, and Harold, if you were there, I mean, I don't know what they broadcasted, but if you were there, Harold, you'd have been like, wow, the majority of the fights were all like first, second round knockouts.
And that's the sad part about it.
Who's putting the matches together? Like Doc had said that, like, who's putting these matches together?
Well, you only have two fights.
All the
matchmaking is gone. You know, it's sad. Doc Snelly, Sports and Death Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. And we do this every week, you know. It shows the constant regression of the sweet science that loses the sweetness. We got the sweetest lady here in the science, I think, Danny Skiles. He had to run back into the studio. We wanted to talk some more baseball with Danny. But once again, the updates, Knicks big winners today. Carmelo Anthony, 62 points. Game before this, today he broke the record for most points scored in two games, back-to-back games. Of course, there was records that would be shattered of Bernard King, who got inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame this year. And he was one of the great scorers in the history of the game. One more time, Miami Heat beat the Spurs today. The Knicks were winners over the Lakers. The Rangers won at Yankee Stadium and against the Islanders.
That's right. The Rangers beat the Jersey Devils 7-3.
Oh! Excuse me. I'm sorry, Jersey Devils. I'm saying the Islanders. The Devils, they beat them. And a big, big crowd. They're also a new winner. And the both new winners this year, first-time winners at the U.S. The Australian Open down under, where the heats were just horrible, horrible. Ali and Tyson special affair been put together by Ring 8, and we also.
When is that, Doc?
I got to check the dates on that too. I was hoping to get, but I had gotten into the studio too late to try to catch it with the PR people there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see maybe I can get to them. Those dates, the 31st, dates the 31st, it's going to
of
be
what,
down.
Of what, February?
Not February, of March? 31st of January, this month.
Oh, January,
okay. 31st. Yeah, I'll have that information and stuff. I thought I had Dusty coming in with us, had emailed it out. I will get it to you shortly. I'll find that for you in just a minute or two, and we'll talk some more boxing. We're looking at... Alvarez has a fight. You talked about that as a fight for him not to sleep on. The opponent is not as easy as maybe he will perceive him to be, Lady A.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Angulo's ever an easy opponent for anybody. You know.
He's not going to be as easy as Alvarez. I mean, the mindset here is that the thing Alvarez is going to walk in, snatch his guy's title, and then say, "Hey, Floyd, let's do this all over again." You're saying it's no walk in the park.
Every time I've seen an Angulo fight, he's come to fight. I mean, that's why I don't. As all boxers should, you know, like as all boxers, Harold says all the time, as you should come all the time to a boxing match ready to fight. I mean, but like I said, he's no pushover. You know, for him to think that he's going to walk in there and just do what he wants, I don't see that happening. And I don't see him as an easy opponent. You know, even with Kirkland. Kirkland, you know, he didn't go down right away with Kirkland, you know?
Speaking of Kirkland, too, because we were talking about Gamboa last night there with 50, and Kirkland is 50's fight, and I remember him down in AC winning that fight against Tapia. You know, everybody had... But Tapia was
right.
A new up-and-coming thing. And
somebody forgot to tell
Kirkland to roll over, or somebody forgot to tell Tapia that Kirkland doesn't roll over, and he didn't. He did the rolling right through him. You both of you have seen Kirkland your assessments and thoughts on him. You started First Lady as First Lady, and then you come on back out. What's your thoughts and assessments on Kermit?
I just think that whenever he's focused and Ann Wolf is training him, obviously you saw that when he stepped away from her, he lost with the Ishida fight. And then after that, when he came back and started boxing with her, I mean, you saw the difference in his training, his eating habits. I think he's overall a better fighter when he's with her, training with her.
Really?
He made some mistakes, but yeah, I think that, she goes hard on that guy, Doc. He's no joke. And that's how all fighters should train these days. She uses antiquated methods, and whatnot. And they work, obviously, She uses, real old style methods, and she's old school, And I think he's just a totally different fighter when he trains with her. But that's neither here nor there. You got to be ready to the best of your ability every time you get in the ring, But I think that you know obviously a good pick for 50 to make money. Obviously he draws a good crowd. We'll see. We'll see what happens with him. But I definitely when it comes to him being in the ring, these guys shouldn't be sleeping on that guy. That's for sure. When he fought Angulo, they both went down in the first round. Both of them. He ended up winning a TKO, in the sixth round. So we'll see. When he fought Angulo, that was when he fought Angulo. So and Tapia was the same thing, and he beat Tapia with a TKO in a sixth round too. So whatever, he finished him off.
Your thoughts? You've seen both guys.
Kirkland is a good fighter, Doc. I'm telling you.
What I see about Kirkland is that he's a game guy. This lady trainer gets him in good condition, but he's just a straight ahead kind of guy. You can't miss him. He's gutsy, but he's nothing unusual, basically. And if he fights a guy that can punch, he's gonna be in trouble. That's the whole thing, because he ain't got the best chin in the world. My thing is that as long as he's in a safe zone with somebody that's not a big puncher and everything, he's gonna gut it out. He's definitely a gutsy kind of guy, but he's not a guy that he's gonna win big prizes or be one of the greatest a big draw or something like that. You just know that when you do fight him, you got a fight on your hands. And he comes to fight, and that's what you want. I gotta give him credit for that. But he's not doing nothing that we jump up a draw and say, "Wow, man, this guy can really go." And he's not the kind of guy.
Doc,
I just meant to add one more thing, also, and Harold agreed with me too. He also has to stay out of trouble too. That's another thing we got to talk about, too. I mean, he's been collared a few times, too. So, that's another thing that he's got to kind of stay out of, is staying out of trouble,
Well, the thing about guys that does that is that he's got a low self-esteem, and he's just foolish, and he's a guy that's a follower instead of a leader. So, basically, he's going to do stupid things. So, right then and there, that tells you where his head is at and everything. Because right from wrong. Why would you want to do anything? If I'm getting paid $500,000, and you want me to do this stupid stuff from the street, and that's only going to give me $100, why would you even think about even doing anything?
Harold, if I was making money like that, I would become a hermit. I would just fight and go home. That's it.
These guys are. They're making more money than they'll ever see in life.
In a lifetime.
They have to work on their knowledge. If they have to depend on their knowledge, they'll be in trouble, okay? But these fighters today are getting more money than we ever saw. Well, I mean, world champions were seeing. None of them can even – it's just insane. I mean, I know everybody's turning over in their graves, the Ray Robertsons and all the rest of the guys, but this is insane. They let a great legacy for guys that don't know how to fight to gain a lot of money. That's the crazy part about it all.
I know, Doc.
Yeah, hey, that's what they say. You said it. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Fresno Guardian Network, Sunday Sports Wrap. Yeah, the Denver Broncos are here. Seattle Seahawks, they'll be flying in pretty soon. The Knicks, and the Rangers all won today. And, well, we told you some story about what's going to happen with the Pro Bowl, which may not be anymore. Courtside today at the Knicks game over the Kobe Bryant-less Lakers, Meryl Streep, 50 Cent, of course, Spike Lee, and Victor Cruz as the Knicks cruise another victory. First time in their history. Garnett and Paul Pierce returned back to Boston. A lot of signs there thanking them. Thank you for boom. So both guys are back. You know, let's talk about the Knicks and the Nets. The Knicks can still make the playoffs. And the Nets, and we said this before, Lady A, they were not healthy. And
I told you, Doc. I told you about them beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell
I told you about
told
the beginning
again.
Of the season.
Tell me what you told me again.
I told you, do not sleep on them. You said as long as they stay healthy, Lady A, and I said to you, I said, do not sleep on them. You
well,
told
I mean,
me, they're like,
I
oh, I don't know.
No. As long as they stay healthy. I mean, that's the whole key, but they haven't been healthy.
They're winning,
now
though.
Now, look at the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks are the situation of just not playing well. And maybe kind of thinking that they were going to rest on last year's lows. But, I mean, if a blind man could see that the injuries, and even now, Williams is still out. I mean, that's the situation. It seems to me, for all intents and purposes, that he's never – he may have one season where he's going to be healthy again. But he hasn't been healthy since he's been here. The guy's an elite player. He gets hurt for two weeks or two games. I mean, I'm just thinking that this guy's going to be a continuous broken record of injuries. And he's a vital part. Yeah, I mean, he's the key to those guys being an elite team. You knew Garnett and Pierce, and I said this, and I'm saying this again, you know, I thought the smart move for Garnett, and I don't know how much the league stopped it happening, but Pierce going out to L.A. I mean, imagine with Paul out now, with Pierce and Garnett out there, they'd still be moving, not losing a step. And more importantly, this would be the time where they'd be learning to play that half-court offense that you need for the playoffs because they're basically a running team. Paul is out, and now you can practice the half-court offense. Garnett and Pierce could get out there. You maybe increase their minutes a little more. I just felt that they would be better suited with their coach and better suited out west weather-wise and better suited for all intents and purposes. The Clippers are a better team than the Nets. But, I mean, things have worked out.
The Clippers are ranked fourth right now at 31. They're 31-15. And then you got Brooklyn at 20-22. I mean, they're just – it looks like they're running neck and neck like with Washington. They're 21-22, so and they won their last five games, Doc. They won their last five games. So, no, I they got a chance to at least make the playoffs. You don't think, Brooklyn?
No. I'm just thinking. I thought. Okay, I mean because.
So you got in the Eastern Conference. You definitely see Indiana and Miami going. Yes.
No question. My thinking was just a situation with these two guys. The thing with Pierce and Garnett was, you know, you're winning this year. At the latest, you're winning next year if all the parts fall together. I just think that, and the great line that Matthew, who is one of the technicians and engineers at Brick, where Mike Bellamy does his outstanding sports show, said, you know, here the Nets have to lean more on Garnett and Pierce than what L.A. would have had to. And that's the difference.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the difference, you know. And I was just thinking that.
You got to look at the Clippers. They had, Paul's been hurt, but they have one of the best point guards right there, you know.
I just thought it'd be a better move for them. It wouldn't be as much demanded of them, wouldn't be as much wear and tear, and that. But they could be an integral part of vital minutes in the playoffs, and playing that half-court basketball game, because, you know, that was the thing that made the old Lakers so great. If they didn't beat you down the floor in the break, no problem. No problem. Magic will bring the ball up.
Doc, you got to look at the bench, too, that the Lakers had. Lakers had a good bench. So even if these guys,
let me finish my synopsis here, okay? Well, we're not even talking about the bench yet. Oh, no, listen, I never forget that great bench ahead. I remember one time I was sitting there with Bob Patterson, and the Lakers are up by 7. Bob, out comes Kareem, out comes Magic, out comes Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
In comes McAdoo, in comes Cooper, in comes Thompson.
Game over.
5 minutes later, okay, McAdoo, Cooper, and Thompson sit down. The Lakers have a 17-point lead.
So I'm saying.
That just validates how great that bench was. Okay?
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, buts about it. Just validate how great that bench was. But I'm saying, as far as them with the half-court game, if Worthy didn't pull the rebound down, if Kareem didn't pull the rebound down and throw it to Irving, so it wasn't no problem, because they bring the ball up the floor, give it to Kareem, and he's got hooked. And if you double him, he shoot it back out to Nixon for the jump shot, or catch Magic, Jamal, or Worthy cutting to the basket. The ability to play the half-court game, too. And that's what the playoffs is about. I mean, you know you got to face Doc and Bird. You know you got to face Jordan Ice. And fight, you know, Dana Diab, because now we play the Lakers once a year. We play the Clippers once a year. You know, during the course of the season, we're going to play Chicago today, Miami tomorrow, and then 2 more days later, we're going to play Philly. But in the playoffs, you got to play these guys every day.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you're looking for ways to divide, to stop them, and you have to have, like I said, that half-court game is instrumental. You know, the ability to come down and do different things. And, you know, the greatness is that, okay, we know Mike's going to shoot the ball. We know Bird's going to shoot the ball. Magic Kareem. And you can't stop them. But the ability to have the half-court game, I mean, anybody can run. If you get the ball down and run, anybody can run. But not anybody can play a half-court game. Some stuff on that Allie Tyson.
Doc, your problem is you don't have those kind of players out there.
There you go.
Oh, no,
good
no,
point,
no.
Harold.
I'm saying that was the thing that Lakers had. But
yeah, I know,
that
but
was
my
the
point
thing.
Is you don't – that's the reason why the Lakers is what they are today. I mean – they are so shorthanded at the Lakers that, I'm going to use my words, sad and touching. Even one of the broadcasters today on TV said the same thing. He said at one time when you had the Lakers playing, okay, against the Knicks, all right, that was a big game.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not even a big thing no more.
Everything here is on the money. My only thing I'm interjecting is the ability to play both half court and running game, and that's what Garnett and Pierce could have brought to the Clippers, a half court game which you can use in the playoffs as well as the running game. Real quickly, let's go back to this Tyson against Allie holds special fundraiser on Friday, January 31st, to benefit Ring 10 Veterans Boxing Foundation of New York. Ring 10 Veterans Boxing Foundation of New York offers direct assistance and financial aid to impoverished and or ailing fighters. The Tyson against Ali fundraising event is spearheaded by legendary PR man Jules Fuller, whose clients have included boxing greats Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., Ray Boom Boom Mancini, Larry Holmes, among others. Many former champions are expected to attend the benefit on the 31st in support of Ring 8. Howling and unpredictable, Tyson against Ali realized the great heavyweight boxing match had never happened, placing two giants of boxing, Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali, into the ring in a way no one thought possible. Using a violent combination of dance, theater, and new media stagecraft, artist and director Reed Farrington examines the emotional life and physical experience of aspiring boxers through the larger-than-life personas of Iron Mike and the Greatest. Tyson and Ali explores how differently these two epic fighters reigned as world champions and how their histories and personalities affected their community and the world at large. With an often spellbinding excitement to finals mending a video performance, New York Times, each boxer is filled out of their prospective careers and private histories to engage with one another. As a two-jab, block and weave, and video projection, live stunt performers, silhouettes, that every move, landing real blows, creating a convincing version of the impossible Ali and Tyson boxing and interacting as contemporaries. Tyson Ali's career is directed by Reed Farrington, written by Frank Bordeaux, and choreographed by Laura K. Nicole. The cast features Dennis A. Allen II, Roger Casey, Femi Ogaba, I'm pronouncing the name wrong, David Shinley, and Jonathan Swain. Tyson against Ali. Performance preview film begins on Friday the 31st. The official opening on Wednesday, January the 8th. The performance schedule is Wednesday, January 22nd, Sunday the 26th at 7:30, Tuesday, January 28th, that's what we're talking about, Wednesday, January 29th, and Friday the 31st. Saturday, February 1st at 7:30, and Sunday, February 2nd at 2 p.m., originally presented as part of Performance Space 122's Call 2014. Performances are at 3LG Art and Technical Center, 80 Greenwich Street at Rector in downtown Manhattan. Tickets are $50 and available for calling, and you can call Ovaltine Nix at 866-81411. And for more information, just go to www.3ldnyc.org. So, Ali Tyson, we gave you 411 on that. Any need for a press contact is Karen Greco, 212-569-8868. Once again, Karen Greco, MediaWise, 212-560-9868. You know, it's funny that they came over. I saw Gary Shaw, and I'm going to give you the reactions I got, and then I want to get yours.
Was that last night? Because you saw him last night. He was at the fight last night.
No, I saw Gary at the weigh-in. I said, Gary, who wins the Tyson-Ali fight?
Oh, I told you
Gary,
that one.
Sorry, just hang on, buddy. You got some time. Doctor. Gary says, you know, I'm a big Tyson fan. You know, I see Tyson winning that. I asked Mackie Garcia, and he had Tyson winning that. I asked Brian Jennings, and he had Tyson winning the fight. And then I said, yeah, I thought Harold right away. You came to mind, sad and touching. And then I ran to Bob Arum, and me and Bob were talking. I said, Bob, who wins a Ali Tyson fight? And Bob looked at me, oh my goodness. He said, Ali would play with him. Then there's Mike Molly. I asked Mike Molly, Mike, who wins Ali Tyson? He said, come on, now. You know what I mean? I said, well, you know what so-and-so said. He said, hey, that's his generation. For my money, it's unquestionable that Ali wins that fight. Lady A, I want you to have your say, and then we're going to go to the top of the mountain and listen to Harold Weston. Ali,
I said the same thing. I said the same thing you said. We said the exact same thing.
We're going to tell. I want it from your lips, from your sweet lips to the fans out there. Ali Tyson, who wins and why?
I told you what. I told you that I believe Ali was a better fighter because Ali had the lateral head movement in the ring, and had better footwork than Tyson and could move around the ring more effectively and land the better shots overall in the fight. That's what I said. Harold could – all right. He's probably going to say the same thing, if not more.
Harold, the floor is yours, baby. It's Ali against Mike Tyson.
Let me just say this to you, okay? Mike Tyson would have touched Ali when they touched gloves at the time they said and come out fighting. That would have been the last time Mike Tyson had touched Ali, okay? Ali would have knocked Mike Tyson, beat Mike Tyson
Thank
so
you.
Bad, he would have thought he was a stepchild, okay?
Thank you. I said the
Mike
same thing.
Mike never seen Muhammad Ali, all right? You talking about the Ali that beat Sonny Liston, the Ali that beat Cleveland Williams, who would have knocked out Mike Tyson, Sonny Liston, who would have knocked out Mike Tyson. You talking about the Ali that was in the Thriller in Manila, the Ali that had all the heart in the world and say, I would die before I lose this fight, okay? That Ali and the Mike Tyson that said, I quit.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the same two fighters?
Exactly.
You know, ladies and gentlemen,
that's why you got the best panel, Doc.
Let me just
Harold,
say this, Doc.
You know,
Ali would have beat Mike Tyson at the weigh-in with the mouth out. Couldn't even stand that kind of.
He said at the weigh-in, Doc. He said it beat him at the weigh-in.
you know, I was talking to Robert Garcia, and Robert is talking about Chavez and Camacho. And I told him, I said, hey, man, so anytime, I love when people get on that because not only because of my love and acknowledgement of Hector and me and your relationship, but I know that. I said, man, let me tell you something, man. I said, you know, Chavez don't beat Camacho. I said, the only time that Chavez was so Camacho is when they touched gloves in the first round and they raised Camacho's hand after the fight. You know what I mean? And he laughed. I said, you don't beat Hector. And I'm just, you know, the thing that got me, and I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but this was an elderly guy, and this was he's a Tyson, you know, and there's the thing I said, you know, you would think that as you get older, you'd get smarter, but, you know, stupid does is stupid does, you know what I mean? It's just amazing. I can understand being a fan. Like I said, you know what, Ty Cobb was the first guy voted in the Hall of Fame. Devout racist, known Ku Klux Klan. Nobody liked Ty Cobb. When Ty Cobb retired from baseball, he had the highest lifetime batting average, the most stolen bases, the most hits, had hit 300 more than anybody else, had won the most batting titles, and won a triple crown. Okay, the game was on the line. It's a 2-2 game. I got Ty Cobb sitting on the end of the bench, but nobody else wanted to sit next to him, you know what I mean? And, I got my man Larry, who I like from the block. Hey, Larry, come over and sit your ass down next to me. Ty, go up your hit, man. It's about winning. I mean, you know, a fan is one thing, but you're right. I mean, I said this. I was telling the little guy, let me tell you something about Ollie. You know, Ollie and Jim Brown are the greatest ever because they were Mack trucks, okay? We're talking about the fullback. We're talking about the heavyweight. The biggest you could be in boxing, the biggest you could be as a running back. They were Mack trucks with the speed and mobility of a force. You couldn't catch him, and if you did catch him, then you're going to catch hell. And
Doc, you said something earlier that makes sense, and you got to understand it. You're dealing with a generation that never did no history looking. They never looked back in history.
Don't move, Al. You know what? 1997 All-Star game. Guy walks into Oscar Palmer Robinson, the greatest player pound for pound ever played again all around. And he said, you know, today's players are not cognizant of the guys that come before them. I don't know if he was insinuating that this horde, the high profit of African-American players, weren't cognizant of their past. And Oscar said, ho. I said, no. He said, hey, it ain't just basketball players. He said, it's across the board in today's society. Painters, doctors, lawyers, car mechanics, football players, you know what I mean? He said, in today's society, nobody is conscious of the pioneers and forerunners. Nobody has a sense of the history before them. And then this is what you're saying, all right, now.
Yeah, but Doc, you got to understand, the kids don't learn history. They don't teach history no more in school. They must don't teach history because I have never seen such kids, today's kids, that don't know even know that George Washington was the first president.
Wow. I'll tell you that right now. It's amazing that we're having this conversation because some people, and I don't even think it's that. I don't even think it's just history. I think it's just basic politics in general. Like people are in such a fog. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They can't even name. I was out. What was I watching something? And they didn't even know who the hell the vice president was. It's how the hell do you not know Joe Biden is not the vice president of the United States of America? It's disgusting, Doc.
They don't know their history, and they don't know nothing about politics.
It's disgusting.
Let me tell you what the problem is in our country and why we're deteriorating very slowly. Everybody only knows about that computer and that iPad. And
Harold, you hit it right on the head, Harold.
But, Harold,
right
they don't even know how to speak to people because of that computer and the texting and all the nonsense.
Right.
You know, my cousin, let me just say this. One of my cousins used to work for the Department of Motor Vehicles in Florida, okay? And this is as recent of a conversation. Maybe it took place within the past year. Harold, you're going to be stunned by this. She asked a 16-year-old kid to sign his name, Harold. The kid didn't know how to sign his name.
Jesus Christ Almighty. Wow.
Harold, sign his name on a motor vehicle, Department of Motor Vehicle document. Did not know how to sign his name.
Yeah. I mean, it's that sad. Lady A, I read a story by medical doctors, and they said today's youngsters, the young generation, they're losing like 10% before they hit 30 or 35. They have lost 10% of their brain because they do not put their brain in any kind of activity to really make it stronger. And they're going through a real process.
Xbox,
because now
PlayStation.
They, now, They done realize now they done put these machines out here, and these kids now are losing their cells in their brain earlier than what they should if when they hit 60 or 70 years old.
Even if you look at things based on writing, kids don't even know how to write because everything they do is type on a computer.
They don't even know how to add.
So forms of communication are being lost through generations because of that.
I'll tell you something. It's a simple thing. It looks simplistic, but it really is sort of sad. Real quickly, fight week schedule for the Collazo and Victor Ortiz fight Luis Collazo. Tomorrow there's 11:30 press conference at Gleason's Gym. Tuesday, fighters will appear at the Daily News Golden Gloves boxing tournament at B.B. King's. Wednesday, official weigh-in, 1 o'clock at the Barclays Center, 12:30 weigh-in. Doors open, 1 o'clock the weigh-in. Thursday, Barclays Center's doors open, media dinner at 6. Pick up at the first fight starts at 6:30. And once again, that's the setup. It's a Thursday fight. Mind you, Madison Square Garden, Thursday night fights. And one more time tomorrow. Both fighters, in fact, the whole horde of fighters, Colosso will be there tomorrow, 11:30 at Gleason's Gym. He'll be there training, working out. I guess it'll be the last workout, no question about that. And Tuesday, the guys are going to be at the Golden Gloves at B.B. King's Open. Weigh-in on Wednesday for both guys, 12:30 doors open, 1 o'clock to weigh-in, and there's the fight on Thursday. And, you know, here's a simple thing that shows you. I remember as a kid, everybody was missing it. And when you wrote a letter, and this is something done by both the intellects and the illiterate, you always put Mr. Harold Weston Jr., Miss Adrian Pasquale. And everything nowadays, it's just like, Harold Weston Jr., Melvin Lee Stanley. There's no pre Mr., Mrs., Miss. I think it's something that you probably didn't think about, but that's just a minute sign of the constant regression. I mean, it used to be, when I wrote, it was Mr. Harold Weston Jr., okay? It was Miss. You will miss if you might, Mrs. A. Vesco. And even if I wrote to my cousin at 9 or 10 years old, he was Master Reginald Buffet. You don't see that, Harold. I know you ain't seen anybody write Master in years. Am I right?
No.
You don't see that at all. I remember, if you were youth, you were Master as a male. As a female, you were Miss, and you were always Mr.
How about the basic courtesies for the elderly, holding the door, helping them carry the packages? I was coming in the building the other day. I was disgusted. I'm like, here's a lady, he's 90 years old. I'm holding the door. I'm getting ready to come out. The kid behind me just let the door go. I'm like, are you kidding me? The basic, basic courtesies and common courtesies is gone. We lost it, guys. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone.
These are the things, ladies and gentlemen. Doc Stanley Sports and Depth Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. With Sports and Depth, we give you the in-depth look and perspective of not only the sports, but the athletes and performers of them. And Sports and Depth, with my intellectual, astute, and unapproachable panel, Sports and Depth is actually, as you heard the last 35 minutes, the world. There's no subject we can't talk about. No experience, we can't evaluate. And just right here is just getting away. I mean, we just talked about the fact that common courtesy. And there was a thing, athletes. I mean, I can see a guy.
Doc, listen, even just to throw this and inject this in the conversation,
the political correctness
is ridiculous. I'm so disgusted with this. Now, they dummy down these tests. Oh, Johnny, Bobby, everyone's a winner. Gold stuff? No, there's not everyone's a winner. Not everyone's a winner, okay?
Right,
now,
right.
Johnny, Bobby, everyone's a winner. No. Yeah. Realize that's how harsh life can be, kid.
Yeah.
Some people win, and some people lose.
Listen, that nonsense, it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. I'm going to tell you one of the two great quotations from Jack Roosevelt Robinson, who's part of our photo card, like his birthday is the 31st, okay? His first one, a life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. And I remember sitting at Shea Stadium, seeing this up on the board, and then I saw this other quote the other great Jackie Robinson quote, and the quote he said stands for Mellie Mays. It stands for Oscar Robertson. It stands for Michael Jordan, who one time was told by Phil Jackson that there is no I in team. And Mike said, yeah, but there's an I in victory, okay? And, you know, and the great line, the great quotation by Jackie Robinson, you ready for this? Above all else, I hate to lose. You know what I mean? I mean, wow. And our society has run this nonsense about a sloppy win. Hey, what do you mean a sloppy win? You know, a win is a win. I mean, is there a beautiful loss? Oh, man, he lost beautiful today, baby. Oh, man,
yeah, exactly.
He should have.
Exactly.
You know, he lost beautiful today. And you know what, man? Hey, you know, he didn't win the fight, man, but that was a beautiful. Hey.
Yeah, but, Dot, think about what you're pretty much enveloping right now. You're developing a society that is growing up to be weak. Because you're
Thank
telling
you.
Them everyone
Thank
wins. Okay, yeah, everyone's a winner. And they're not going to fight.
So this is bad. They're dumb and weak. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
They can't fight and they're weak. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. There's no question. There's no question.
You guys can stop me anytime you think I'm wrong. Because, listen, this is what I see. I call them the Pepsi generation. I call it the Pepsi generation.
You got to understand that, you know, when I was coming up and when Mel was coming, you had to be tough. You had to be tough, okay? And our kids in the United States of America is, like you said, they're weak. They're very weak-minded, and they can't take pressure under no circumstances. They want to know why.
You know what, Harold?
And they kill themselves when it gets too tough. They got to kill themselves and commit suicide because it gets too tough.
They're hiding behind their weakness with drugs and alcohol.
That's what I said. They end up committing suicide.
That's the crutch that they're using. I mean, it's like, I remember how
Camacho
said the same thing. Now, Camacho, you went inside a bully's head. I mean, there were guys, you know, all the little guys who could beat me. I mean, you didn't get gorilla. And you know what happened to him? And I hear it too, Harold. The late, great Buck O'Neill talked about this too, with the fact that Buck said, you know what? There was a thing that you, as the ninth grader, looked out for the eighth grader. You, as the seventh grader, looked out for the sixth grader. The sophomore looked out for the freshman. Hey, man, leave him alone, man. Hey, that's enough. Leave him alone. But you know, like those things.
Got to go that far. You, Doc. What about in the neighborhood? If you had an issue, people were like, hey, you need something? Yeah, don't worry about it. We got you. No problem. Let them play outside. I watch the kids.
You know
no big
what?
Deal. Now
you
so
know
worried
what?
About so much nonsense. Come on.
You know what, Billy Bang Bang Davis, greatest one of the legendary stickball players from Madison Street, which had the greatest stickball players. He told this story about the greatest stickball player of all, the legendary Mellie Mays. He said they were playing in the street, and Jimmy Downey was an Italian kid that grew up with us. And he said two or three guys were sitting there, sort of hassling Jimmy. And Mellie went over and said, Jimmy, do you know these guys? Jimmy said, no, I don't know, man. And the guys, you know, turned to Mellie and them and said, hey, man, you guys taking up for a white boy? Mellie said, yeah. He's a white boy, but he's our white boy, okay? He's our white boy. He's our neighbor. He's on our team. And Billy said, Mellie told the guys, don't you guys ever come through this block again. And that's how we came up. I mean, I remember Mr. Maloney was talking about, but you always had that asshole in the neighborhood who thought, you know, playing in the streets was a little, why don't y'all go up to the St. John's? I said, Mr. Maloney, let me tell you something. I can't go up to the St. John's Center, okay? So I'm not taking Jimmy Downey up to the St. John Center because you understand this, that Jimmy Downey was our third baseman. So we don't go any place without Jimmy. And if I can't go to the center, I live on this block. But now
you're talking about these people playing. Let me tell you something. The biggest joke I ever heard was this thing called play dates. You ever heard of that? A play date. Oh, they got to have a play date. Man, get the hell out of here. When I was growing up, you went outside, you played Skelly with whoever was there, you know, whoever you saw. I was like, what is this nonsense with play dates? Are you giving me – give me a break.
Harold, one more time,
we got to set up a play date. What the hell is that, Harold?
Don't say a word, Harold. I got this sad and touchy. Go ahead, Harold.
It is. I mean, I got young kids coming to the gym now, okay? just to sit down and talk to me about how they're going to live through this world and how they can cope with life and how can they cope with bullies and how can they cope with their mother and father. They are so scared because they want to feel stronger in their mindset as well in their education. And they know that they're weak. This is so bad about it. A lot of these young men and kids, they know that they're being weak. And they don't like it. But they don't have nobody telling them anything to how to overcome these fears. And that's what our problem is. You got these jokers running around and everything just telling them all these silliness, and these kids are not seeing it. And all they do is walking in fear. That's how come these kids are grabbing guns and shooting at the situation because they're so scared. And that's the problem you're having in this world today.
But you know what, Harold, too? Look at this young kid that's making all the news now, this Justin Bieber nonsense. I tell you, man, listen, you know what that kid needs? An ass whipping. That's what he needs.
Really?
That's what he needs, an ass whipping.
Harold, remember our parents? It's funny. I just saw a cartoon in the paper where they were taking Bieber. They had him tied on. The United States was going to deport him back to Canada. They said, hey, we're deporting him. Canada said, oh, no, you ain't. Oh, no, you ain't. I remember my parents, man. Anyway, we're talking about the moms, you know. You were
back in the day, they didn't care how old you were. Listen, they'd give you a beating. Parents didn't care back in the day.
Hey, let me tell you. Mom slapped you side of the head, and you tired crying. Mom said, hey, you want me to give you something to cry for? You know what I mean? You want me to? And you understand this is so much.
Let me tell you what a Puerto Rican / Dominican ass whipping consists of. After they're done beating you behind, they'll pour rice, raw rice, on the floor and tell you to kneel on it and tell God to forgive you. Because that's how we get down. Okay?
Wow.
That's how I used to get my ask God to forgive you because I don't feel like forgiving you right now. Oh, that's great.
And this is the crazy part about it. Then they're asking these young men how to relate to women and how to respect them. How do you respect them when you're talking on a darn iPad and you're talking on the computer?
Right.
You don't know how to approach
communicate.
Them.
Communicate.
You don't know how to even have a good discussion with them.
Nope.
That's what the problem is.
Yeah, well.
That's what the problem is.
And touching, as Howard Weston said, just say you look back. Doc Stanley Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, and the Trust and Cargo Network, our Sunday sports rap and our Sunday sports intellect, psychological uplifting. The Rangers won today. The Nets won today. Tiger Woods didn't win today. Nadal did not win the Australian Open. It's a week away from the Super Bowl. That will be held next week. Peyton Manning and company landed in town the first time. In fact, only the second time in the history of Super Bowl, where both number one seeds made it to the Super Bowl. Again, you will have the number one offense, Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, against the number one defense, Mr. Williams, my man, Earl Thomas, and the Seattle Seahawks. But we are saying happy birthday one more time as we crash through the month. And it was astonishing to find that George Foreman, on the 10th, was 2 days ahead of Joe Frazier on the 12th, who was 5 days ahead of Muhammad Ali on the 17th. Ali shared his birthday, shares with Buddy McGirt the day before that. There was Roy Jones Jr., who beat Bernard Hopkins, whose birthday was the day before that on the 15th, along with Dr. King. We say happy birthday to Antoinette one more time, New Year's baby, Antoinette Boykin, my man Philly Funches, and also the sports editor of the New York Beacon, my man Raspberry, Mr. Raz. We also remember that the last day of this month is the birthday of Jack Roosevelt Robinson. I say happy to my beloved, my dear mother, who this year, by the grace of God, on the 21st, 85 years old, and 70 years behind us, plus is my grandson, Tariq, had a birthday on the 2nd, his mother, Turquoise. Little daughter on the 2nd, the 25th, is also my cousin Johnny. And we also say happy birthday to Anthony and Noondam. We shout out one more time to the lovely Chacha, who had the same birthday, Dr. King, and Mr. Glenn Martin, the top detective in New York City. Probably celebrates his birthday on the 30th. And with that, we will go back and get about ready to wrap up the show. If your birthday is this month, as also my nephew here on the 24th, and I own the senior baby Lord, celebrated the birthday on the 24th. And it was on time, but we thought he was joining tonight. We also have a birthday on the 24th. That would be Willie Mays' birthday and Jackie Robinson's number backwards. And with that, we get back. You know, gang, this is just a tremendous discussion here, and looking how as often as things change, sometimes they remain the same and sometimes they don't.
No, Mel, can I say something? And you're missing a great story. There's a story out there that happened today, was in the newspaper. Muhammad Ali Jr. is in a shelter, okay? He has no money, all right? He has not seen his father in over a year, all right? The thing is, he don't, and this is what he said in the newspaper. It's in the New York Post. They had a big story about it.
Yeah, I kind of saw that headline. I didn't get a chance to read it, Harold. What happened with that?
You know, it's funny. I'm not supposed to read it. Okay, here it is. Ali Jr. inside his tragic life. Let's take a quick look at that real quick.
Yeah.
As Harold is talking about that.
The thing is that he does not know how
Ali's son on the ropes and reeling.
Well, what'd you say, Harold? He what?
He said he doesn't know how to be a man. He doesn't know how to live life. He doesn't know how to take care of himself because he
here
was so.
Here it is, Harold. I sometimes resent my dad. Hold on, Harold. I sometimes resent my dad. It's like I'm cursed. My life is cursed. Ali's son on the ropes and reeling. And he made the comment, I pray to God that that awful disease takes my dad sooner than later, takes him away from all the suffering. And that's him talking about Ali's Parkinson's disease. And
well, the thing is that he's one of those men we're talking about, is that he's living in this era that his mind's completely destroyed because he didn't learn anything. He never really tried to find out who he was as a person, and he's completely out here as being a person that is just, let's say, a moron. He just doesn't know what to do with himself. And if you read that story, you'll see he talks about that whole situation because him being under his father's, umbrella, he was privileged to so many things. He didn't have to do anything. And so nobody ever taught him anything. And so he doesn't have a mindset to know how to take care of himself as a man today. And that's
what's sad about that is because his father is ill. I mean, even though they say he does have some kind of, you know, he is cognizant, you know, of his surroundings and whatnot. It just makes it seem like he'll never have the father-son relationship that he really should.
You know, it's
funny.
It's not funny,
gone.
But you talk about this lack of learning. I remember Julius, and everybody here knows when I say Julius, I'm talking about Julius Serving and Eddie Murray. And Julius talked about when Darryl Dawkins, who Stevie Wonder named Chocolate Thunder, when Darryl Dawkins was on the Sixers, you know, when Julius came to the Sixers doing one practice, he showed Darryl, a little move and stuff. And Darryl said that was the first time that anybody had taught him anything about basketball. Show him a little step, and that was the first time anybody had showed him anything about basketball. And you see how easy.
It's funny you say that because you equate everything.
Let me get quick. Everybody talks about how easily it is for the underprivileged to fall through the cracks, but it seems like Lady and Harold, the same thing can happen to the privileged.
What I was going to get to. I'm like, you know, Harold was just talking about all these people, you know, with their computers and this and that. But, you know, they're
on
this false pretense that the nonsense.
Oh, my, we got 90 seconds left. Hold on, gang. We got 90 seconds left. Ali Tyson, 31. We've been having a great time here. Doc Stanley, Sports Net Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Lady A, Harold Weston Jr. will be back here next Sunday, 11:30, Super Bowl Sunday. Gang, hey, you're the greatest. I say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. We'll pick up on this next week. And with that, Marvin Gaye will take us away. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. And Lady A, say goodnight.
Good night.
Harold Weston Jr.
Good night, Lady A. Good
take
night,
care.
People.
Take care,
world.
Brother. I'll see you tomorrow, Doc.
Okay, love you, girl.
All right, later.
God bless you all and trust in God. Doc Stanley, Sports Net Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Harold, Double Barrel Weston Jr., Lady A, Danny Skiles, The Bat Dinner, and Ali Tyson. Gotta go. Trust in God.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world. and despair? Who really cares? There'll come a time,
there'll come a time,
when the world won't be singing,
when the world won't be singing,
flowers won't grow,
flowers won't grow, no,
bells won't be ringing,
no, bells won't be ringing,
who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world?
To save a world.